I don't like the light is making me look more jowly.
The mic is live.
Oh, good. I don't like the lights. Like, we have too much overhead.
Hold on. I'm trying to remember what I need to click here so that we can actually go and do this thing. Here we are.
We need more underlighting, or at least level lighting.
We're talking to the music. It's okay. Watch. It'll be our most listened to episode. Oh, I don't know if it's actually. So this is putting out the music. OBS is putting out the music, but YouTube is only listening to the microphone, so they're not hearing the music this time. That's inconvenient. I should just.
So they were just listening to us.
Yeah.
Aha! I knew it.
Here we go. Here's the music. Finally. I just saw that the camera is backwards. Oh dear.
That was on purpose.
No, it's not on purpose. Here. Oh. Can I Ah. There we go. Okay.
We're learning as we go.
Yeah, and now all right, so now I need to check that, uncheck that, uncheck that, and check that. And here we are. And
the chairs are acting funny.
Yeah, welcome to the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast, finally. It's funnier probably if you watch the video. And since the webcam setting that I'm using is reversing us, let me see if I can turn that thing around. Okay, so in reality, the computer looks at us and I am on the right. And the viewer sees me on the right. All right, there we go.
So,
yes, today's title is, yes, you should, sorry. Today's title is Writer's Block, Excuse or Opportunity.
And we're going to try something a little different this time. I thought, despite the fact that I have no interview experience, well, I mean, except like casually for projects or whatever growing up, I thought maybe it'd be interesting if I went through the notes and did a little more interactive going through the notes with Don and I kind of interview him.
I mean, who's got the nicer voice, really? It's her.
So here we go. I'm going to go down the Don's notes and these are things that we've talked about. So it's not, it's not all new to me or anything. I'm not just going through the motions, but these are interesting points, things that we've talked about. And Don is pretty involving of us. Can I say that? For all the things that he's doing. Momento, bebé.
I have a visitor.
A little distracted. Bebé. You want to start? I'll go get it. What am I going to say?
You want to finish what you were saying?
Oh, that's about it. I'm just going to look silly.
I'm Don. This is Lila. We're your hosts.
Oh, and we're ultra casual this morning. Yeah. As you can see. A hot body. Since I don't know what I'm going to say while you're gone.
Yeah, so okay. All right. Yeah.
Go ahead
and get him the toy he's asking for. Bothering you, silly kid. Okay. So, writer's block. I can go ahead and say that I right now currently have writer's block, but I want to look into like what does that mean. So like is writer's block a valid thing? Yeah, it's real. It exists. When you can't write, that's not writer's block. When there are things that are physically stopping you from writing, that's not writer's block. I'll reference somebody else right now in talking about writer's block, and I'll get there in 1 minute as far as defining it. But it is a real experience, you know. You can be writing along and then, like, you don't know what to write next. So is it a valid thing? Is it real? Yes, it's real. Is it a valid reason not to write? Well, no, because there are ways around it. So let's dig into it. And now, writer's block, as far as defining it, I'll reference Craig Martell in the Successful Indie Author 5-Minute Focus, episode 744. And you can see the link to that video in the show notes. It's also on YouTube. And he gives a definition. It's not when things are physically preventing you from writing. Like if you're driving your kid to school, that's not writer's block. You have something else that you need to do right now, and that might physically prevent you from writing. Writer's block is when it's a kind of a cessation of the creative juices. These are my own words now. This is not the way Craig Martell put it, but it's where you're kind of hitting a mental wall. But I'm not done defining it though, or I'm not done saying. So I said that writer's block, and Lila's back here. So writer's block isn't when something is physically stopping you, preventing you from writing, like when our toddler came and interrupted just now. Uh-huh. And it's not like if you're driving your kid to school, you have to do something else right now.
Can I close this a little bit?
Writer's block, yeah. Writer's block is when you're sitting with a pen and paper or at the computer and you just you feel like you don't know what to write. So you're able, but there's kind of a mental cessation.
A mental block.
Creativity.
Yeah.
Now,
is that as far as you took it?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so let me go on.
Okay.
So I want to ask you, do you think there's do you feel a kind of moral dilemma? Like, am I truly blocked? Am I looking for excuses? Like, when you hit those points, are you like, am I just being lazy? Does that occur to you?
It has before. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's not. Like, right now, I was trucking along. I'm going to get ahead of myself. But, I'm writing this Nightshade Unicorn story, and I busted out over 3,000 words yesterday. Kind of a reaction against having a bad day the day before. And that wasn't writer's block either. Mm-hmm. I had 3 appointments that I had to go to, but I was still trying to get my words in. 3 appointments, and one of them was my allergy shot, which makes me feel like garbage. And so some of the time that I would have used to write, I used to sleep instead, because I had to recover from that injection. That was 2 days ago. Yesterday was a good day. I got over 3,000 words out, and I'm trucking along, and here I am. I'm setting up the plot, and I did it. I set the plot up. Mm-hmm. The main character has now departed on her quest, on her journey. Now what?
So do you feel like you've hit that?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's where I am right now. So I feel weird because I want to talk to you, and I'm talking too much to the imaginary audience that isn't there right now. See, 0 viewers. But that's because it's 10 a.m. on a Thursday on the East Coast. So it's 7 a.m. on the West mm-hmm. Coast. People are at work or not up yet.
So did you already talk about, according to other people, what writer's block is?
Only a little bit. I touched on Craig Martell's definition mm-hmm. of just saying what isn't mm-hmm. writer's block. And that's what you walked in on.
Okay.
I haven't mentioned the Writer Dojo yet.
Do you want to?
Yeah, I will. Okay. So the Writer Dojo is a podcast and a Facebook group. It's Steve Diamond and Larry Correa, who are experienced writers, And they've mentioned a few times in their podcast, so I'm not referencing any one specific episode. I'm sure I could if I went back. I think it was back in season one where they tackled this phenomenon. But in a word, writer's block is an excuse.
No. Because you can always work around it.
Yeah.
Or do things. It's kind of like, I don't know, like when the kids have a list of chores to do. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I can't do them because this one is so hard and I can't manage right now. I'm like, well, just do something else that you can do, you know, like, yeah. So like that. So tell me what that's like
as an author. We actually have a rule for our kids that if they have a task that they're supposed to do, they're not allowed to say, I can't. If they believe they can't, then they're supposed to say, I can't because, mm-hmm. or they can ask for help. I can't do this alone. Can you help me to reach it? It's too high. Or
I don't know.
I don't remember. Yet. Yeah. I don't know how. Mm-hmm. Well, then you ask me how and I'll help you. Okay. So for what was your question?
This is where my lack of interview skills.
Like what
skills.
To do as far as.
What was I thinking?
Oh, I want to cite Larry Diamond, Larry Correa and Steve Diamond.
It's funny because I was actually concerned that I might do that.
Both have.
Later.
They both have backgrounds in accounting. And they like to say there's no such thing as accountant's block. Like
they have to get it done.
You have to get it done. Uh-huh. There's work to do.
Exactly. You have to get it done. I mean, it's just kind of a life skill. And I find that in my day-to-day things, like if I feel like I'm not up to this one task, but I can do this other task that'll get me closer to where I need to be, mm-hmm. I'll do the other task. Sometimes the task is taking a break, but you know, a short measured break just to kind of refresh my mind and get me back to the spot mentally. But yeah, there's usually something that can be done to progress things.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I was asking though. I was gonna.
So I guess we got through these two bullets. I mentioned the Writer Dojo and their view on writer's block. Like it's an excuse because there are ways around it. We haven't gotten yet into how to get around it.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Like,
so yeah, so let's talk about the situation at hand.
Wait, so are you going to go into? Is this going to involve ways to get around it that you've mm-hmm. implemented? Okay.
Well, not that I've implemented yet. I need to now.
Okay.
I hit this and I'm like, this would be a good topic to podcast about before I push on. So right now, like this podcast, you could say is an excuse for not getting the work done. I still intend to get the work done. I'm still going to get my at least 2,000 words per day today. And I just wanted to share this experience and hopefully can help knock some other people out of writer's block mm-hmm. with the solutions and I'm not coming here with a big long list of solutions and methods, but I have a few and it's really a way of thinking and looking at it.
Okay. Let's hear them.
So my situation, I already said I set up the plot and kicked it off. And now the heroine has, excuse me. I hope it filtered out my burp. I don't know if it'll do that. I bet it won't.
Took the care to mention it. So that if people did miss out on it, now they're going to get the information that it happened.
I'm using software that's supposed to filter out background noise.
Oh yeah. So this is kind of a discovery thing here. We're experimenting. Because we're learning along the way. We're not experienced in all of these things.
Yeah. Background noise and background. If you want to know the truth, you can't handle the truth. See, that's where we really are. But now we're in the woods in front of this creek where I took a picture. So I kicked off the adventure, but I don't know all the details of the adventure. I have the... I have kind of some things about magic and how this world works. And I have in mind, I know where the adventure is going. And I have some loose idea of how it will end. I haven't totally concluded that yet. And honestly, I think this is probably going to be a trilogy of books. We'll see how long this adventure runs when I write it out. Mm-hmm. But I suspect that when this leg of the adventure is fully written, it will probably be anywhere from 60 to 100,000 words. Because I just kicked off the adventure and we're 19,000 words in.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. So I see that you have these things, invent these things. Is this one of the means? So you're thinking like to get your brain going again, is get into the some of the fun details of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like Craig Martell in his video 3 days ago says, what do you do to get around it? Well, for the discovery writers, plot it out or plan. So if you've been exposed to writing fiction very much, you're probably aware of different philosophies of how to approach writing a story. And there's plotting or pantsing or discovery writing. Some people don't like the term pantsing. You know, you're writing or flying by the seat of your pants is the expression. But whether you carefully plan or plot everything out so you know from the beginning where it's going to the end, that's one model. Maybe not even philosophy, just model of, mm-hmm. of how you set about it. The other one is I have a concept in my mind and now I'm writing. Like you don't
mm-hmm. you really don't stop and think about it. It's more a stream of consciousness.
So right now I find that I am both. I'm halfway.
You take turns? Like do you do one and then you're like, now what? You hit a wall.
That's where I am. So you were there in the car last year when I had this idea for Nightshade Unicorn. He's different from the other unicorns because he's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. And so as I came up with the concept, I was the big story arc was forming already. Mm-hmm. And now a few weeks ago, I started trying to actually write it. And then last week I started trying to get a good amount of productivity in per day, because I'm on this internship, which is focused on the creative work and publishing. And so where was I going with that? Right.
The phases that you're going through.
So I had a concept. I had a starting point. So I started. And I had to invent some things along the way. You know, we invented some characters. Mm-hmm. And one of the characters has taken a much bigger role already than I intended him to from the beginning.
I'm thinking of Delgan?
Yeah, Delgan. Mm-hmm. I'm really conflicted on what to do with Delgan now. And
you mean right now? Like just leave him high and dry and never a word from him till she gets...
We'll see how I feel at the end of the... at the end of the epic. Uh-huh.
We've got a visitor again.
Delgan is the main character's love interest. But now she has to go off on this journey and I don't know what. So I have done some planning. I dove into writing. And here I have, and I'm not going to show you in high def what's on this sheet, but
no sé por qué, Pepe. Lo voy a tener que abrir después. Tal vez sea algo de la batería. Puedo revisar después, amor. Ahora no puedo.
She's a ghost.
Sí, no sé por qué, amor. Lo puedo revisar después, ¿ok?
Sí, después.
Puedo, baby. Sí, no puedo, lindo.
Después, después te ayudamos.
Ya vi. Eso sí.
Ah,
sí. Descubriste que unas están enfermas. ¿Podemos revisarlas después?
Sí, por favor, llévala arriba.
Sí, bebé. Ya, llévalo, amor.
Okay. I'm going to keep going. So, what I need to do right now is I know where her journey is heading. Not just plot-wise, but physically, I know where this leg of the journey is going to lead her and who is going to be there. In fact, that's at the very beginning of the narrative as it stands. I started at the end or very near the end of this first leg of the journey. And then as that was, you know, looking perilous, then I cut back to the beginning before the plot kicked off. But now that I've kicked the journey off, I need to know like what kind of world she's traveling through. And I have a notion in my head. And so yesterday, in order to be able to get the productivity that I wanted, I started drawing. I did a little bit of, oh dear. I can't show it on the camera.
You can show it back here. It's showing up.
There, I started. Yeah, okay. I started mapping.
Wait, so right? When you say you want to know what kind of world she's going through, do you mean like the geography, that kind of thing? Or just at all? Like,
both.
Okay.
The geography.
I was thinking like the character of the world. Like,
there are magical creatures. There is magic in this world, but I haven't decided all of it. Mm-hmm. There are unicorns, and I have written down some of the specific magic they can do. Some of this I may forget about and it won't wind up in the book. We'll see. But like, does this world have jackalopes? I don't know. And like, if you take a jackalope's antlers and you grind them up, can you make some kind of potion? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've decided that there is inherent magic in the natural world. Where there are things with high concentrations, like maybe a mighty tree has a spirit, or a mountain has a sprite that can impart some of its power to you. I'm thinking maybe along those lines, but I haven't made these decisions yet.
I thought I don't want to throw you off. Do you want to get to a point?
Go ahead.
I was thinking about the Lois Lowry's The Giver Quartet,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to remember which book it was. I think it's the second one. I can't remember. I think it's the third, maybe the second or third. There is well, it doesn't matter. At some point, there is a forest. It's the same forest that you see before, but in one of these books, she develops the idea that the forest itself has a will and like abilities to exert that will, which I thought was a really interesting thing. So I was thinking, you know, like you could even make the landscape itself be interactive and not just the living things. Even if it's just kind of a mechanical or chemistry-based interaction, but you know, like you step on some types of stones and they flip up and turn over or something. So I just thought that was an interesting,
yeah. Well,
thing to consider.
My plot devices require that there be author, that there be inherent magic in the natural world, for reasons I'm not going to talk about right now. But there has to be magic in the natural world. And so like I'm at a point where I need to do more of this. And so I'm thinking, oh yeah, I can't show it there. Okay. So this mapping, and I'm thinking I might make a map. I might make a map and chart out where they're going to travel, and then I can decide what kind of challenges they're going to face along the way.
Yeah, I was thinking, I saw that on your notes and I thought that was a great way, as I felt like, you know, I'm only playing a minor role in this process, but when we were talking about the gift that Duncan was going to give Alava, that really got my juices flowing. So just talking about one physical aspect can lead you to ideas. So I thought that was a good means. So you have this map and events. And so even if you don't know how you're going to get to those events, maybe brainstorming around those, and that would open up.
Yeah. And so I think
about the people involved.
I think the antithesis of writer's block would be decisions. Just making decisions. Because with writer's block, you feel like you don't know what to write, and you just need to decide it. And I have a sign on the wall behind the computer as I write. There's this sign on the wall that says, write a lousy book, then fix it. Because if I try to write a great book, and I'm going to write the next Lord of the Rings, then I'm not going to write anything. Because is this Lord of the Rings worthy? Is this good?
And I may have mentioned this all the time, it seems like, but this reminds me of when I was taking an auditioning class, and the teacher said, you can't want it that much. Like, as a foundational principle for auditioning. Because if you want it so much, then you're investing all this energy and thought into, am I going to get it? Oh no, what if I don't? And all of this is his ill-expended energy that could go into the creative process.
Yeah, and I mentioned in an email to somebody the other day that I believe I can fix a story that needs fixing, but I know that I can't fix one that doesn't exist. And that's the truth. Like, you can't fix it if it doesn't exist. And just make it exist. Yeah. They can't walk away with it. I don't know. I say so. So what kind of tools are there? Like, I need to make decisions for their journey, where they're going to go, what they're going to pass through on the way. Like, are they going to, she's going to run into lack of sleep, and she's going to run into hunger. These are going to be challenges on her journey, because she's traveling with great haste. There's not time to stop. And what else? Like, does the great evil adversary have servants that are going to assail her on the way?
I was thinking maybe she could even be exposed to the elements and come down with an illness.
So I think Mr. Martell hits it on the head when he says, plan it. Like, if it's not coming out kind of automatically, then decide where you want it to go and see where it needs to go through to get there.
I like what I want to get into this that you have here with the tools. Can we talk about paper and colored pencils first?
Yeah.
So is that, do you feel like that is specifically something that for you opens up your creative juices?
I don't know. I haven't. So I tried using paper and colored pencils in 2020, and it might be because I haven't earnestly used colored pencils since I was a teenager.
You know what I think? Yeah. So it might feel kind of distant.
I might just need to give it some time to get back into it.
I was thinking that it would be great for me if I were in your shoes to use like modeling clay and just model some stuff. And then, because you really have to think when you're physically creating something, what's affecting the shape of this? What's affecting, I don't know, which way it's facing or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that would be helpful for me.
Since for my story right now,
I guess you could do that with colored pencils, but I really like the tactile.
Yeah, I do too. I just
modeling something.
I think because my story will be affected, will be influenced and driven in part by the map, I think that's what I want to do next. And I'm going to try out World Anvil. I created an account earlier this year, maybe. I don't remember when, but I haven't used it yet. And so I think I might give it a try and see what that yields. Something else that you can use that I'm not going to, at least at this time, is you can lean on modern tools of AI in order to break through that writer's block. I've heard of some writers asking AI, like, what are 20 things that could happen coming out of this? And if you want more ideas there, check out the Creative Pen with two N's, the Creative Pen podcast from Joanna Penn, because she has had she's had some episodes talk about how to use AI, not to have it spit out your book for you, but to as a brainstorming aid, or to just kind of catch ideas. So anyway, I'm not going to do that at this time. It's something that you can do. I don't remember what the tools are called that are they're based on ChatGPT, but they're tailored specifically for authors. Yeah, I just don't remember their names right now.
It'd be kind of like when you call me and you want to brainstorm, except you're brainstorming with a machine. Well, I was interested. That's too bad, because I was interested to see what the others were. Is this other,
the ones? Oh, the other schools.
Whoa, the other ones that are related to, or that stem from ChatGPT. Is that what the other tools are?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and you could do other things. In high school, we did wet ink exercises, mm-hmm. where the teacher says, just imagine you have a fountain pen and it's flowing and you can't stop it. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep the pen moving. Like, it doesn't matter what you write, just write something. And you might actually like what comes out.
Was it fictional specifically?
I don't remember. We probably did both fiction and nonfiction.
I think for years we did different teachers. But I seem to recall that for at least more than 1 year in high school, we did the stream of consciousness writing as an exercise in class every single day. Now, I really enjoyed it. And at first it was kind of weird, because I ended up writing all this nonsense because it was what came to mind. But then I saw that it was a good vehicle for channeling things that I wanted to say. And then it got more coherent over time as I practiced it more, and I really liked it. And it was nice to not have that burden of needing for it to make sense. So maybe you could do like little sprints and do that for like a set time or something.
Yeah. That's something else that people do. They do sprints, and they say, I'm gonna sprint for 20 minutes. Just gonna write whatever I can.
Nathan, estamos tratando de tener una conversación. Por favor, no hables ahora.
Yeah, you can. That's another thing you can do. You can sprint or have a wet ink exercise, and just write. You have to stay writing for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. But yeah, I feel like we're kind of exhausting the topic.
Yeah.
So I think to conclude, we come back to the beginning, where is writer's block real? Yes, it's a real experience. Is it a real reason not to write? No, because there are things you can do. So don't use it as an excuse. It is often an excuse, but if you want to write, then write. Just don't try to hold yourself to some unrealistic standard. You're not going to write perfection out of the blue. You're not going to write, don't give yourself pretenses of, I'm going to be the next Tolkien. Maybe you are, but not if you don't write it at all. Mm-hmm. So just write what you can, get it out. Now, before we go, don't forget Fantasty. And this is our contest that we have that has been going since some months ago. Yes, since you've been gone. So Fantasty I'm reminding myself what I've promised about it. It's still open, and because we haven't really had a chance to push it, but here we are pushing it. So send me a tweet or a hashtag with your picture on Instagram, or email to me your food, homegrown or homemade. It's from your garden or from your kitchen, not from any restaurant. And send us that with the hashtag or the subject line fantasty, as you can see on your screen right now. So send me fantasty, and you can send that to, oh, darn it. You can't see it on the screen because it's being filtered out by, okay, 1 second. There we go. Fantasty.
Now we have the.
Yeah, now you can see the ugly background. Yep, fantasty.
Darn it all.
Fantasy with an extra T in there. And show us your tasty food. And you, that gives you the opportunity to win a $30 gift card to the restaurant or to the retailer of your choice. We'll close the contest on 30 November. That means that your Thanksgiving turkey is eligible for this contest, but yeah, get all your submissions to us pumpkin pie. Oh, I love pumpkin pie. Mm-hmm. By November 30th, and we will choose a winner early in December. Life might be busy. I don't promise to be able to podcast it out and announce it that way in early December, but the winner will know in early December, and we'll send you that gift card, and you'll have it in time for Christmas if you want it. Okay. Yeah, but I don't know where it is.
No sé dónde está.
Yeah, and that is that, I believe. So now, since we have this other software, let's. Extra clicks, extra clicks. All right, you have a nice day.
Bye.
The mic is still alive.
Okay.
Oh dear, the video is backwards still. All right. Goodbye.